Welcome to the Unblocking Crypto Podcast. This podcast is not financial advice. It's meant for entertainment purposes only. These are just the opinions of a couple of rambling wrecks.
Welcome back to episode number 143 of Unblocking Crypto. Today, it's just going to be me. So I'm going to give you guys some of the highlights of what's been happening in the past week. There will not be a lot of back and forth, so let's just jump on in. I think the big thing that I saw this past week that is really intriguing is Microsoft is voting on December 10th whether or not to invest in Bitcoin as a treasury reserve asset. They use MicroStrategy as an example in the shareholder letter. Although what's really interesting is the board is suggesting against doing it. So if you look at their board, one of the largest or the largest shareholder of Microsoft is Vanguard at 9%. Luckily, I think BlackRock is number two, and a couple of the other investment banks that are pro-Bitcoin are up there too that should outweigh the Vanguard piece. The thing to think about, though, is Microsoft is sitting on about $75 billion of cash or cash equivalents. So depending on what they decide to do, that is a lot of money that could go into Bitcoin. And even Michael Saylor reached out to say he would be happy to help them make their next $1 trillion for their shareholders. At the same time, you have government still somewhat of a mess. The Federal Reserve president in Minneapolis says that very few transactions are happening on crypto and that no one is using it to buy goods and services except for drug dealers and other criminal enterprises. What's interesting is no one uses it to buy anything in the U.S. because the tax consequences aren't great, but we'll talk about the ETFs here in a second. It's amazing how many people are wanting to buy Bitcoin for a long-term hedge against inflation and everything else that's going on. Tether is also under investigation, apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal. That has really been rebuked by Tether. Wall Street Journal was saying that the U.S. government is investigating Tether for breaking anti-money laundering rules and whether or not USDT is used for third parties for illicit activities such as terrorism, drug trafficking, and hacking. Tether really shut this down quickly. They think article really glossed over Tether's really well-documented and extensive dealings with law enforcement to crack down on bad actors and seeking to misuse Tether and other cryptocurrencies. So it's another example of kind of shoddy reporting from the Wall Street Journal, and be careful if that is one of your main sources of news. The Bitcoin ETFs, man, they did over $1 billion of flows last week. They're now over $4 billion in the last 12 days, which if you think about it, there's less than 10% of all the 3,800 plus ETFs in existence today that have $4 billion in assets. And BlackRock in the last 10 days has taken in more money than all but two of the ETFs that started in 2024, which is more than 575 of them. They've taken in more in 10 days than the rest of those have taken in all year. Those other two are both Bitcoin ETFs too. And what's interesting is Vanguard still doesn't even offer Bitcoin ETFs to their clients. The other interesting thing that was really cool, Emory University just announced that they have close to $16 million of Bitcoin ETFs and close to about $750,000 of Coinbase stock. I think they're the first university that's come out and said that. Bernstein just released their Black Book of Bitcoin. What they're pretty much saying is $200,000 Bitcoin by the end of 2025 is a conservative prediction. And they suggested if you're not interested in a direct position in Bitcoin, then try MicroStrategy, Robinhood, or some of the miners like Riot, CleanSpark, or Core Scientific. And then what's really exciting too, the Bitcoin whale activity is at an all-time high. And to be a Bitcoin whale, you have to hold over 100 Bitcoin, which is about $7 million these days. And typically when they're buying, they know something. So it's interesting to see that they're buying a lot right now. The other thing to think about from a Bitcoin perspective, in the last 10 years, 99% of all the gains that Bitcoin has made has been made in 30 days of trading. So it's one of those things, be careful trying to time the market. You never know when those big candles are coming and if we're really going to have one of those God candles that Samson Mao keeps talking about. In the world, there's a bunch of interesting things going on. South Korea has announced that they are working on a new crypto plan that could launch in the second half of 2025. It would propose a new requirement for crypto firms to regularly report cross-border crypto transactions to curb criminal activities. As part of this plan, too, they're also expected to incorporate digital currencies into its Forex law. In Denmark, kind of doing is something a little bit different. They're proposing to taxing unrealized crypto gains, and this could take effect as early as 2026, and the taxes could be up to 42%. So apparently Denmark is not crypto friendly at all. Netherlands is working on their crypto tax policy. Apparently Europe has what they call the DAC 8 directive that requires crypto service providers in the EU to collect and report data about their users to tax authorities. So these authorities then exchange the data with other member states. So it's unfortunate, but it's part of the regulation piece. And then the UK has their Bitcoin, which the Bank of England governor says that they will continue to supply cash as long as people want it. They're really just looking at a wholesale CBDC to help with the settlement of payment systems across a lot of their banking systems, but they're not looking at a retail CBDC, which is good to hear. Going back to Bitcoin, the mining difficulty just hit a new all-time high. It jumped up 3.9% in the past 2 weeks, up to 95.67 terahashes. That's a, or 95. E, whatever that is. It's a 27 increase year to date. It's over 700 exahashes per second. This is the 13th positive adjustment in 2024, although there have been 22 total. And for those of you that haven't paid attention lately, Bitcoin just hit over 71K for the first time in about 7 months. They're just about 3% away from its all-time high. So expecting some big things before the election happens here in a week or so. We've been talking about Tigran from Binance, the executive that was held hostage pretty much in Nigeria. He has finally been released. All the charges against him were dropped, apparently due to his poor mental health. He was there for 8 months. It's kind of funny that Nigeria said the entire time that his health, or poor health, not mental health, but his poor health. Nigeria pretty much said that his health was fine the entire time. And now they released him due to his health. They did, at the same time, launch a joint task force with the U.S. So I guess maybe that was one of the things that needed to happen for Nigeria to feel comfortable to release it. And finally, it was taken care of. Kraken also has kind of followed in the Coinbase steps. They are unveiling that they are going to be starting another chain called Ink, which is a layer two on Ethereum using the Optimism stack, and just like Base does on Coinbase. So it'll be interesting to see everything that they do there, but they're trying to be a competitor, it seems like, to the Base chain. Chainlink, which is probably the largest oracle out there, has finally expanded to Bitcoin through an L2 called Spider Chain. So that's exciting to see that Chainlink can now see what's going on the Bitcoin network and create smart contracts tied to that as well. Solar miners are having a great year. There was the fifth solo miner that won a Bitcoin reward this year that just happened. It's about a $222,000 reward for mining it. So congrats on them. From a different perspective, MemeFi, which is a Telegram game, typically, every Telegram game so far has launched on the TUN network. MemeFi decided to go a little bit different, and they were planning to launch on Linea, which is a layer two on Ethereum, but they just announced that they're switching to Sui, which is the old Meta chain that kind of got spun out. So another interesting news announcement related to Sui, and they seem to be kind of an intriguing chain, and it'll be interesting to see how things go with their rollout of that token. And then the last thing that I had that has more kind of a just a wake-up call. So Citibank just debanked Brad Garlinghouse, who is one of the executives at Ripple. He's really been a customer for them for over 25 years, and they called him up and said, hey, we're giving you 5 days to move your money. You're one of the well-known people in the crypto space, and if we keep you as a customer, we have increased scrutiny from federal regulators. So his advice that he said for crypto startups, and he said he hates saying this, but as of right now, you need to incorporate outside the US, which is a huge red flag to me on what's going on with the current administration and their war on crypto. I know we've talked about it a lot. Hopefully in just over a week, we'll know what's going on and we'll start the process of resetting the expectations from whatever the next administration is and this war on crypto. And hopefully we can start actually forming some regulation to move forward in the US. So that's all I got from now. Thanks for joining. We'll talk again next week.
If all of these crypto conversations leave you with more questions and you're looking for answers, I've created a product that dives into most of those answers, including why crypto, how to set up a cold wallet, and some of the more advanced strategies for dealing with crypto. Check the link in the notes below and hope to see you there.